Chapter 7. We came to Mendeley in early May. Arriving, so Maxim said, with the first swallows and the bluebells, it would be the best moment, before the full flush of summer, and in the valley, the azaleas would be prodigal of scent, and the blood-red rhododendrons in bloom. We motored, I remember, leaving London in the morning in the heavy shower of rain,coming to Mendeley about 5 o'clock in time for tea. I can see myself now, unsuitably dressed as usual, although a bride of 7 weeks, in a tan-colored stockinette frock, a small fur known as a stone martin around my neck, and overall a shapeless mackintosh, far too big for me and dragging to my ankles. It was, I thought,a gesture to the weather, and the length added inches to my height. I clutched a pair of gauntlet gloves in my hand and carried a large leather handbag. "This is London rain," said Maxim when we left. "You wait. The sun will be shining for you when we come to Mendeley." And he was right, for the clouds left us at Exeter. They rolled away behind us,leaving a great blue sky above our heads and a white road in front of us. I was glad to see the sun, for in superstitious fashion I looked upon rain as an omen of ill will, and the leaden skies of London had made me silent. "Feeling better?" said Maxim, and I smiled at him, taking his hand, thinking how easy it was for him. Going to his own home, wandering into the hall, picking up letters, ringing a bell for tea, and I wondered how much he guessed of my nervousness, and whether his question, "Feeling better?" meant that he understood. "Never mind, we'll soon be there. I expect you want your tea," he said, and he let go my hand because we had reached a bend in the road and must slow down.